Friends, I wonder if we can turn once again in our scriptures to our reading this evening, which is found in Matthew chapter 16. And let us read verses 13 to 20. Verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And he said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of the heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus, the Christ. And dear friends, it is true that there are parts of the church and indeed some Christians who have understood verse 18 to mean that Jesus Christ was calling Peter the rock on which he will build his church. And it's easily understood when we read it. A superficial reading, one could understand, well, that seems to make sense here. "And I say also unto thee," or unto you, "that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And yes, Peter's name in the Greek is Petros, and the word for rock in Greek can be Petra. So there's definitely a word play going on here. But dear friends, I would argue it is not Peter himself that is a rock that the church is built on. It's not Peter himself, but rather his confession. It's Peter's confession, which we read in Matthew 16, 16. "And Simon Peter answered and said, You, or thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is the rock upon which the church of Christ is built. That this Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the promised Messiah, the Son of the living God. Or to put it another way, dear friends, the church, the rock that the church is built on is not only a confession, but it's a confession in a person. And that person is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the rock. Jesus Christ is the very foundation of the Christian faith. The foundation on which upon the New Testament church is built. Upon which the gates of hell will not prevail. And so, dear friends, tonight our title for our sermon tonight is Jesus Christ is the Rock. Jesus Christ is the Rock. And our text that we're using as a springboarding text to help us to study this is Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And with the Lord's help, we shall seek to look at our text under the following three headings, if you will. The following three headings. Firstly, Jesus Christ is the Rock, or the foundation of the Christian faith. Secondly, Jesus Christ is the sure rock, the sure foundation of the Christian faith. And finally, and thirdly, Jesus Christ is the eternal sure rock, the eternal foundation of the Christian faith. And we seek the Lord's help this evening as we spend this next short while studying this, his precious word. May he be pleased to bless us and help us understand these wondrous things. Under our first heading, Jesus Christ is the rock, the foundation of the Christian faith. Dear friends, this has always been the case. There's never been a case when Jesus Christ has not been the rock or the foundation of the Christian faith. He always has and always will be. Indeed, he was that very foundation in the Old Testament faith. He was that very foundation in the Old Testament faith. We have the words of Christ himself when he appeared to his disciples. The risen Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples in the closed room and he speaks to them. In Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 45, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses." Here we have the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, the books of Joshua, Judges, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, which were called the former prophets, and Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12 smaller books from Daniel to Malachi, which are called the latter prophets. And indeed in the Psalms concerning me, Christ is throughout all the Psalms. Isn't that a wondrous truth? That as we sing the Psalms, we miss not that out. For often it's said to us, if you sing Psalms, don't you miss singing Jesus? Well, dear friends, the Psalms speak of Jesus all over. He is the blessed man of Psalm 1. Indeed, he is found in every single Psalm. And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 has always been true, even from the very foundation of the earth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Dear friends, it was Jesus Christ who walked in the cool of the evening with Adam in the garden of paradise. It was Jesus Christ who spoke from the burning bush to Moses to call him to redeem his people. It was Jesus Christ who was the Redeemer that brought Israel out of Egypt by his mighty hand. It was Jesus Christ as a cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Jesus Christ was a rock in the wilderness that provided water for the people of Israel. Christ was the angel of the Lord that came to strengthen Joshua before the fall of Jericho. It was Jesus Christ who was the one who walked in the midst of the burning fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so on and so on in the Old Testament. Every time God has engaged with man, he has done so through the risen Lord Jesus Christ, or through Jesus Christ. Indeed, in the Old Testament, it's through Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state, before he took on his human nature, before he took on flesh and blood. And in the New Testament, through Jesus Christ in his carnate form, with a human nature and a human body, as God fully, as the God-man, fully God and fully man at the same time, and yet without sin. Dear friends, there is a deep, deep mystery here. Do we fully understand? No. But the Bible is clear on these things. In the Old Testament, all the historical events that took place, all the trappings of the Old Testament sacrificial system, the prophets, the judges, the kings, the priests, the redeemers raised up, were signs and shadows pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. It has always been about Jesus Christ. Always. Everything and every practice commanded was given to point to the coming of Messiah, the Christ. Glenn Scrivener writes that Jesus Christ is patterned, promised, and present in all of the Old Testament. The Jewish faith rests and finds its foundation on the promise of the coming Messiah in the proto-gospel given to us in Genesis chapter 3:15. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Jesus Christ alone fulfills all the prophecies made of him, over 300, and he fulfills them all. And as the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 to 11, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. And according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another build thereupon. Let every man take heed how he build thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is the rock and the foundation of the Christian faith. Likewise to the church in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, the cornerstone on which the whole building rests." Friends, you take that cornerstone away and that building comes tumbling down. "In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Dear friends, Jesus Christ is the rock and the foundation of the Christian faith. Secondly, Jesus Christ is the sure rock and the sure foundation of the Christian faith. It is a nature of a rock to be stable, to be sure, to be a place of stability. Indeed, many castles and fortresses are built upon rocks, upon mountains. And do we not read in the scriptures time again how God is our rock, our refuge? Psalm 18, verse 2, "The Lord is my rock, and on my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." Indeed, these are the words of the sweet psalmist David. But yet are they not more truly the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who could say that his Father, that his God is his rock, and his fortress, and his deliverer. And dear friends, we can sing along and say along these words that the Lord Jesus Christ is our rock and our fortress and our deliverer, our God and our strength in whom we must trust. Likewise, Psalm 40, verses 1 to 2. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pits, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." Dear friends, every Christian is set upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is no other sure foundation than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a sure foundation, a safe place to build. Do we remember the story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 7? Let us turn there in our Bibles now. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll read from verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto the wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." That rock being Jesus Christ. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Oh, do you see, dear friends, it's more than just hearing the words of Jesus. Both the wise and the foolish builder both heard the words. The difference was one put them into practice. One believed, one trusted and put into practice. And in doing so, he was building his house upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the storms came, his house stood. And dear friends, the storms always come. The storms always come. And if your foundation is not upon that rock, if your foundation is not upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, your house will come tumbling down. To build upon rock as your upon Christ as your foundation, upon as your rock, means to believe in all he said and all he claimed to be. Faith in him as God's promised Savior, as Savior and Lord. Oh, there are plenty of people who want Jesus to save them from hell. Oh, who wants to go to hell? If you've got to believe in hell, you know, it sounds like a good... We like buying insurance, don't we? We get insurance so that we're in an accident so we can minimize effects. And so there are people who have that attitude. Well, if Jesus gets me out of hell, that seems like a good thing and a wise thing to do. And so I'll take him as my Savior, but I'm not so sure I want him as my Lord. Because as my Lord, he has requirements of me, and I don't think I like that. No, dear friends, if you want him as your Savior, you need him as your Lord as well. You cannot have him as your Savior only. It's the same coin, two different sides. If you want him, you say, he must be your Lord as well. And we're not talking about some sort of academic knowledge in these things that they might know and think of, well, yes, I believe there was a Jesus and I believe he was a good man. He may have been a prophet. Dear friends, the devils knew who Jesus was, believed in all he said, and yet they feared him. We have a living faith in this Jesus Christ to be our Savior and our Lord. For that living faith is putting and building upon that rock, that sure foundation. So I ask you tonight, dear friend, I ask you, what is your sure foundation of your faith? How do you know that you are going to heaven? Where may you say your surety lies in? For if you're trusting in yourself, that you attend church, maybe you attend the prayer meeting, maybe you come to all the communion service, preparation services, maybe you read your Bible every day, maybe you even pray. Now, friends, these are important and good things. But if your trust to getting into heaven, your trust to come this Sunday, to come sit at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ, to eat and drink of his body and blood, if you're trusting in your attendance and all those things, my friend, you are building up on the sand. You are building up on a sand. If you're trusting in your own good works because you're kind, you try to be good to your neighbors, you try to give to the poor, if you're trusting in all of these other things, it is all sand, dear friend. There is only one sure foundation. And that foundation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to build upon that is to have faith, a living faith in him as your Lord and Savior. If you're putting your trust in anything else, doesn't matter if your parents are Christians, doesn't matter if you read good Christian books, all of these things count for nothing in the end. If your feet are not upon that rock, you will be washed away at the end. And great will your fall be. But here there is also a word of assurance for the Lord's people. There is a great word of assurance here, to know that he is a sure rock, a sure foundation. That means we can trust it. We can know that it will get us. It will. Jesus will get us to heaven. He will take us there. As Peter was going under the water, it wasn't that he was swimming to Jesus. He was going down. And Jesus in an instant is by his side and bends down and picks him up and lifts him up into his arms. And suddenly he's in the boat with Peter. And the boat is on the other side. And immediately, in the split of an eye, on the land. When Jesus is our rock and our foundation, he is a sure foundation. He will get us to heaven. There are so many promises of assurance given to the Lord's people. John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's a promise. That's a promise, dear friend. Do you trust in that? Because if you trust in yourself to hold on to your salvation, that's a terrible place to be. Spurgeon himself said that if my salvation was up to me, I would lose it. I would lose it. I feel sorry for our Arminian brethren who have this teaching that believe that somehow you can lose your salvation. Imagine having to have that burden upon you all the time. You know, am I saved today? I might have been saved yesterday, but will I be saved tomorrow? Oh no, dear friends, Christ gives us assurance. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who's doing the performing, dear friends? The rock, the foundation. The storms will come and the building will not go down. 1 Peter 1, verse 3-5. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Listen to these words. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Dear friends, who is keeping you on that rock? Even our ability to stay on the rock of Jesus Christ relies on Christ himself. He is the one who keeps us on that rock. For it was up to you or to me, we would fall often. But that rock is stable. That rock will not move. It will not shake. The rest of the world may crumble and fall down, but that rock of Christ will not move. And a wonderful promise is in Jude, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Do you see how much assurance and great assurance there is for the Lord's people? I speak to those of you tonight who love the Lord. You are the Lord's people, but you doubt, am I worthy to come to the table? Well, that's easy to answer. No, you're not. You are not worthy to come to the table. Neither was Mephibosheth worthy to come and sit at King David's table. Mephibosheth, who legally and politically was his direct number one threat to the kingdom, the throne of King David, the direct the lineage of Saul. And there were people who wanted Saul's children back on the throne, not David. But David calls Mephibosheth, this man who was a cripple. And Mephibosheth says, why is my Lord treating me a dog as I am? And yet it was David's desire that Mephibosheth should eat at his table all the days of his life. And that's what it's like with the Lord's people, that we are not worthy to come. But Christ says, come, come, eat, take. And we're to come, dear friends. We're to come, but sometimes we lack assurance. And when we lack assurance, sometimes it's lacking assurance is because we are not trusting. We're not trusting and putting our faith upon the rock. We're saying somehow, I don't think it's enough. I need to be doing something myself. That I'm so unsure that I feel like I fall at any minute. Well, yes, in and of yourself that is true, but not if Christ has you. If you are on that rock, it is a sure foundation. And then you need to repent of your unbelief, that you're not trusting in the Lord enough. And that's why we have that wonderful verse, one of my favorite verses in the scripture. And cry with the father of that sick child, I believe, help my unbelief. Dear friends, if you are lacking assurance and you want to come to the table, cry out to Christ now, tonight. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I want to know the surety of the rock that I'm standing on. Forgive me for my lack of faith. Forgive me for my disobedience and not coming. I know I'm not worthy. Yes, we're not worthy, but He is worthy. And He makes us worthy to come because we are united in Him and with Him by faith. And we have that wonderful promise. The Lord Jesus speaking these wonderful, sweet words. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. See, friends, our responsibility is to come. We're to come. Now we may say, well, how do I know if I'm elect? How do I know if this be true? Dear friends, that's none of our business. God commands all men to worship Him. God commands all to come to repentance, all to come and fall down upon their face. Our responsibility is to come. This Lord's Day, will you come in obedience, dear friends? And if you lack that assurance, cry out to that rock who's ever so sure. Thirdly and finally, Jesus Christ is the eternal sure rock, the eternal foundation of the Christian faith. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. Hebrews 7, verse 24 to 25. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Do we grasp the wonderful and amazing truth of this? That Christ lives forever as our intercessor, forever and ever and ever. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, he also ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right-hand side of the Father, interceding for each one of his beloved children. It is true, dear friends, that when we believe, we become converted. But it's also true that as believers, we're being converted all the time, continuously. Continuously and continuously and continued by the eternal intercession of Jesus in heaven. Jesus who is praying for us and praying that what will be given to us is that we need or that essential to our salvation will be given to us by the Father. He is a reminder at all times that the debt was paid, that when he cried, it is finished. He's a continual reminder to the Father that the debt of that sin was completely paid for the past, present, and future. So that the true Christian can never outsin the grace of Christ. He's always there. Dear friends, we have a man who began to attend our church for a number of weeks. A man from Iran. And he was Muslim. And he became converted by reading the Bible and comparing it to the Quran. And one of the things that really struck with him was how in the Quran there was no assurance for him. That when he was asked that if he was to die, would he go to heaven? And he would say, I don't know, because it depends how Allah is feeling today. If Allah's in a good mood, I might get in. But he says, when he knows he put his trust in Jesus, he knows I am saved. I am going to heaven because of what Christ has done. Dear friends, we are eternally saved by Jesus Christ's eternal prayers. There is never going to be a day in heaven when God may say, depart from me. Never, ever, ever. It is an eternal, sure foundation. Who is it he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Continually laying before God, the debt is paid. It is paid. It is paid. It is paid. And he is our advocate. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not, and that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Our high priest, he prays for us. And his prayers are always answered. And because he prays perfectly on his perfect sacrifice and his righteousness, the answer is always yes. What assurance, dear friends. Not only are we assured that we're going to get to heaven, but the Lord's people are assured that we will remain in heaven forever and ever and ever. And only and completely because of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his life and his death. And his death he paid for the debt of our sin. And his life he earned eternal life in the perfect perpetual obedience of the law. He takes the debt of our sin and gives us his righteousness. And we go to heaven for eternity. In paradise. With this glorious and wondrous God, knowing God will never, ever kick us out. Dear friends, this Jesus Christ is the eternal, sure rock, an eternal, sure foundation of the Christian faith. But do you know him? Can you say you know this Jesus to be your rock? Can you say, yes, he is my Lord and my Savior? Because we have other scriptures where we're reminded where the stone was refused by the builders. The stone that was refused by the builders became the headstone, the cornerstone, the most important stone of the building. And this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Dear friends, do not reject the stone. Do not let it become a stumbling block. For indeed, for some, the stone that is laid in Zion is a stumbling block and a rock of offense. But the promise is, and whoever believes on him, that's Christ, shall not be ashamed. So I plead with you this night that if you do not know this Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you do not know him to be your eternal sure rock or the foundation of your Christian faith, then come to him. Remember that all that come to him, no wise will he cast out. No wise. He never turned anyone away who came to him. He would point to their needs to show that they needed a savior. Even when he spoke to that rich young ruler. The rich young ruler said, you know, he said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus told him to do all these things. He said, I have done this. As the scripture said that he loved him and said to him, well, go and sell all that you have. See, that rich young man really needed to learn. He thought that he obeyed the Lord perfectly. And he needed to be taught a harsh lesson. But in fact, he didn't. That he needed a savior. He needed a rock to put his faith. His rock was the law. He thought, I'm standing on the rock of my obedience on the law. And what he had to do was come to know that Jesus Christ was to be his rock. Now, scripture doesn't tell us whether this man was converted or not. And there are different views on this. But I would hope that maybe as time went on, he would hear of this Jesus, what more of what he did. And maybe he might be one of those in Acts on the day of Pentecost that would have repented. We'll only know when we get to heaven. But what's important that I need to say to you, dear friend, is you have heard. You have heard that this Christ presented to you tonight as the rock. Will you put your faith upon him? Will you stand upon him and trust in him alone? Come to him tonight. Come to him this very day. Don't wait to get your life in order. Don't wait to get things sorted out. Christ takes us as we are. He never leaves us there. He takes us in all of our mess and changes us and makes us new and places us on that rock, which is Himself. So let us pray. Thank you.